Radio Real. Real radio, your reality.
Welcome to Off the Shelf,
the Second Life radio show and podcast about books and the people who love them.
I'm Kegia Girardi.
And this is Simeon Beresford.
Join us as we survey the literary scene in our virtual world. Hello, and thank you for joining us for Off the Shelf.
Today is, Kegia reminds me, is the Ides of March.
Yes, but unless your name is Julius Caesar, and sometimes I think you think it is, I don't think that should be much of a problem.
True, but perhaps a more notable date this month is March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. In the spirit of that holiday, we have our first guest, Derry McMahon, the librarian at the West of Ireland Library.
And after we talk with Derry, Janaya Moran will tell us about an event she is hosting for World Storytelling Day and about the Virtual Worlds Story Project.
Hello, Derry. You've been a librarian at West of Ireland for quite a while now, but what about your real life? Are you an organizer there?
Hi, Sai. Thank you for inviting me today. Yes, I'm a chronic volunteer-er and a chronic organizer. I've worked in a number of volunteer groups, church groups, and I always seem to be the one who's the go-to girl. So, but over at West of Ireland, there's a number of us. Siobhan McMahon, who helps to run pretty much everything at the Sim, and my storytellers, they're all really great people for getting things done.
Mm-hmm. And was West of Ireland your first such post in Second Life? Did you just step into that?
I did pretty much step into it. I came into Second Life almost 2 years ago with the intent of working on a presentation for the Internet Librarian Conference. And so I was going around scouting libraries and nonprofit organizations and spirituality sites. And I ran into Curran Mayo at the Nonprofit Commons, and he said, oh, you'd like Nancy Blake's pub. And I went over there, and I pretty much have not left the Sim since then. It was a perfect fit. We seem to invite in a lot of witty, intelligent people. And what's nice is a lot of people who think there's something more to having a good second life than just shopping and romance. Although we don't find anything wrong with either of those.
I'm glad to hear it. So, who talked you into it? Who said, Derry, we need you, and we need you now?
That would be Siobhan McMahon, the CEO of West of Ireland, who said, you know, we could use a cultural spot. It would be a nice thing to have a library. And I had seen some of J.J. Drinkwater's work over in Caledon, and I thought that was the type of library I'd like to have. I'd like to build community. I'd like to bring some culture and something a little different, a little bit of learning into the Sim. And she gave me the most beautiful section of the Sim to have the library. And Cunningham Dougherty built a great library that merged everything I wanted, a whole combination of sea and sky and earth, a very organic space. And we opened a year ago last Friday, but our official anniversary will be next Saturday.
Yes, it reminds me of rather of Connemara or Galway, the west of Ireland, in fact.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. So, West of Ireland is run by a Texan organization. So, how come I never see any Texans there?
Oh, probably because you're in the wrong time zone for them. We have a number of them. The most visible around the Sim would be Nash Rambler, who's in charge of our rental properties. and we have a few others who come to storytelling and hang out at the pub. We really have an international crowd altogether, although predominantly from the United States. Because if you notice, if you stand in Ireland and you look west, and you keep looking west, and you keep looking west, you find the United States.
Yes, you are definitely west of Ireland. So, is there anyone there with a genuine Irish accent?
Oh, yes. We have a number of people. And it's all just depending on your timing. And we like the fact that we have a lot of different people from a lot of different places who enjoy a lot of different types of literature. And we have Shandon Loring with a fabulous voice, and his specialty are the Irish hero legends and Celtic lore. And we have Elder Priestman with a thick Kentucky drawl, and he does a wonderful job with Americana, Mark Twain, Washington Irving. Caledonia Skytower does our family favorites, and she's gotten great crowds for Peter Pan, Mary Poppins, Alice in Wonderland, and is now doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And Aoife Loring is a true genius with poetry, especially Irish poetry. And she's great at running open mic sessions, too. So I'm blessed that I have so many people who are so dedicated and into so many different things.
Mm-hmm. And West of Ireland is, of course, a charity system. Could you tell us something about the charity that it supports?
I would love to. Our charity of choice is Project Children, which is a recognized charity both in Linden world and also in the real world. I, in fact, worked with Project Children about 25 years ago when I lived in North Jersey, and we would meet the plane loads of kids. What Project Children seeks to do is to unite Catholic and Protestant children from the north of Ireland to come over to the United States for the summer together and learn that it doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in or what brand of church you go to. It matters more that you realize everyone's a person at heart, and it matters that you treat each other well. The sad part is this program has been going on for several dozen years, and even though we thought the peace process in Northern Ireland was making life stable there, just in the last week or two, we have seen more violence erupting, police killed, car bombings. Both sides are to blame. I'm not going to take sides on this. And we don't in the SIM. We are non-denominational. And we just try and promote a little bit of peace in the world by hoping to make some children acknowledge that this hatred needs to end. There was even an article in the press last May that talked about interviews with the kids, and they are still raised to distrust the others and to think that the others don't matter because they're not them. And so we raise a huge amount of money. We send hundreds of dollars, real American dollars, every month to the charity to help bring more children over, to give them this experience. And all of the money sent into the donation bins goes right to the charity. Our rental properties cover the SIM fees and tier and things like that. And that could be why we get a lot of people who, once they've been around Second Life for a while, they're looking for something a little more. Or maybe just assuages the guilt of sitting around playing on the computer when you know that what you're doing is helping to raise funds for a legitimate charity.
Which neatly feeds into my next question is, what can our listeners do to help?
Ooh, we'd love it if you'd come to some of our music events or shop in our stores or some of our literary events and toss some Linden love. There are donation bins all around. We have a full schedule of music at Nancy Blake's Pub. Most days we have music, whether DJs or live performers, from about 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. SLT. Right now we're in the midst of a month-long celebration of St. Patrick, and I know that this afternoon we'll be having Ixfi Zerbino, a great DJ, and then at 3 o'clock, Andy Fogarty. From 4 to 6, I will be playing a party in the Glen. It's When Irish Ides Are Smiling. It's the Ides of March meet St. Patrick's Day. So it'll be a toga party with Irish music. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, Slip Stringfellow, an American who does wonderful Irish traditional music, will be in to do a live performance. We have storytelling 6 days of the week. The only day we don't is Friday. And on Fridays, we dance. And I coordinate the Friday night special. This week will be an Irish pirate theme. But we've had all kinds of themes. Animals, cartoon characters, nautical night. We've had it for an entire year, and we've only redone two different shows that everybody loved, and those were Salsa Nights and Pirate Nights. So we'd love to have people come. We have a website. We have a blog. I believe the note card has the website and the blog address. And we now have a stream that runs 24/7 that you can get to anytime, anywhere, and listen to stories and music that goes with them. And we're hoping to bring a little more into SL than the idea that St. Patrick's Day and the Irish heritage itself is just green beer and plastic shamrocks.
Oh, yes. Never understood green beer.
Oh, no. So unappealing.
So with all these events, do you ever clash with your own? Do you ever find yourself trying to run a reading at the same time as there's a musician book, or the surf team are surfing? Or
We do our best to avoid that. We do have DJ events going on at the pub when we have readers. We try not to have live music, but since we've grown to have storytelling 6 days of the week, they do overlap a little bit. We find that most of our crowd is different at the pub than at the library, but we try to avoid it. I know next week there was supposed to be a surfing championship on Saturday, and we're having our charity readathon, where I'm hoping we'll get good traffic in, and I know you and Kay volunteered to come and read, and that's wonderful. We'll be going from noon until 8 p.m. at the library. The first and last will be open mic sessions so that we have time for those of you on your side of the pond and those on our side of the pond, and in between, it'll be reader's choice. So we'll have some Irish stories, we'll have some animal stories, we'll open our new exhibit on wild Irish women, and I have some wild Irish women tales to tell about those. Ooh. Yeah, so that'll be fun. And right now we've also got our special event, which is Grace O'Malley, Ireland's Pirate Queen. And we did it yesterday, and we had about 22 people. We're going to be repeating it on Monday at 7 p.m. SLT, and we've been invited to the Nantucket Theater at SL New England for Tuesday itself at 5 p.m. So we'd love it if people would come. As I said, all donations go right to the charity. No one who performs in West of Ireland takes money. They don't take tips. They don't get paid. They all donate. And so we even get big names like Louis Volari, Joaquin Gustav, and a lot of our friends, Tony Uriza. So we're very blessed.
Oh, yeah.
We have great people, really great people.
I think that more or less sums it up. But tell me, what happens when it goes wrong? I bet you've had a few disasters.
Well, minor disasters can be things like someone crashing in the middle of storytelling, and they usually come back. My sound going out last Saturday in the middle of storytelling. Naked people running through the library, but sometimes that's just funny. Probably the biggest thing is that I can at sometimes become my own danger zone. I once ripped up the library floor just a few hours before a performance. And I had to put in a panic call to Cunningham, fix it, please. And I have been known to take the texture from a poster and accidentally lay it down in the front sidewalk or on the roof or in one of the giant windows. But there's very little that gets done that can't be fixed at some point.
That's just as well.
Well, it is indeed.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Derry. Now we're going to take a brief break to listen to a piece written by an Irish harper. When we return, we'll talk to Janaya.
Thanks, Si.
Thank you.
Hello again. That musical interlude was Carillon Concerto by Magnatune artist Acamra, and the album from the album A Celtic Celebration. And apparently Simeon just got lost, so I think we'll go ahead and mention that the next month the book with discussion will be Hardwired by Walter John Thomas. Harpy Carnivar will...
Now we would like to welcome Janaya Moran. Janaya has a background in education, writing, and storytelling, and her work with the Virtual World Story Project draws on all these experiences.
Janaya, welcome to Off the Shelf, and thank you for coming. I'm so excited to be talking to you about the Story Project.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm just delighted to be here.
Can you give our listeners some background about the project?
Sure. The Virtual World Story Project is kind of an offshoot of my work in my first life, where I'm a writer, educator, and storyteller. And when I first came to Second Life, I thought, I'd like to open a school and teach writing. But instead, I became the student. Second Life exposed me to all kinds of people, cultures, beliefs, and lifestyles. And I started hearing the most amazing stories. And that's when I realized someone needed to be collecting and sharing them. Hence,
kind of
the Virtual World Story Project.
What kind of stories were you hearing?
That's a great question. Well, let me give you one of my favorite ones. There's a young man I met who is a DJ. He's a Talmud scholar. He writes poetry. He's just the most amazing, articulate, and fun person to be around. I went dancing with him. We visited Sims. We had a great time. It was only 3 months later that I learned that he's on a ventilator 24/7, and the only part of his body he can move is his thumb.
Wow.
I was just...
You forget in Second Life that people aren't exactly what they appear to be.
Exactly. And I mean, I have to say, this is one of the most, I cherish his friendship. I mean, he's just an inspiration to me and everyone around him. So that's one example. Another is this wonderful singer who's doing very well in real life as well. But she had been told by her former husband that she couldn't sing worth a hill of beans. And she'd sort of given up on her singing career, came to Second Life, met some people who said, sure, you can sing. And they set her up on a stream. She started doing gigs, and now she has a CD, and she's doing very well. Those kind of stories that just knock your socks off, you know?
So your stories are as much about the real world as experiences in Second Life, or more about the real world, do you think?
Well, here's the thing. This is what I think about Second Life. It helps us learn about ourselves, and Second Life is real life because there are real people behind the avatars. And so it behooves us to pay attention to what we're learning and studying and doing here, because it does affect and change our real lives. So to answer
That's
your question,
so
it's about what I think is our total life, you know, which includes Second Life. And we would be really mistaken if we didn't pay attention to what this is teaching us.
We can't separate First Life and Second Life. They're still our lives.
No, and I think that Derry would agree with me that stories are one of the best ways we make sense of our lives. You know, we tell stories about what happens to us so that we can understand and share and form bonds and decide, you know, what are we going to make of what happens to us? And that's one of the appeals for storytelling for me.
Absolutely. In fact, when I met you, it was during a storytelling workshop.
Yes.
Why don't I know you pulled several of those in Second Life. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do there?
Okay, that's great. Well, I do hold some regular writing classes, but those have not been particularly popular, and I couldn't figure it out for a while. And then I started being invited to do stories of my own. So what I decided to do was tell a story and then offer a little writing teaching exercise afterwards. So whatever the theme is, for example, health and healing, or what's another one I did? Diabetes. Whatever the theme is, I tell a story of my own to illustrate, and then I invite people to do a little writing exercise and share what they come up with. And that has just been remarkably popular, and it's been so much fun to see what people come up with, because they are really, really creative.
Well, it also breaks down some barriers internally about your feelings as a writer and whether or not you can write.
Yes. And, you know, I thought at first, I hesitated to do this because I was afraid people wouldn't want to try, but they jumped in feet first. And I mean, funny, inspiring, touching, just wonderful stories. And they're, you know, it's a short amount of time, so you're not, you know, really invested in it. So people have had a great time, and I've had a great time working with them. You can see some of their stories over on Storybook Island. I, you know, get their permission and post them.
Why don't you tell folks what Storybook Island is? It's a great venue.
Well, it comes from the teacher side of me. As I said, I came into Second Life thinking I would start a school, you know, build a brick building with classrooms and teachers standing in front of, you know, whiteboards. Well, that didn't work. I mean, that's just not Second Life.
Not at all.
Not at all. So, you know, that was a disaster. And then I got to thinking, well, you know, I want to give people something to do while they're learning. So I built an island that looks like an old volcano, the caldera of an old volcano, and put a story trail on it. And what that is you start up the trail and you come to a stump. And you touch a flower by the stump, and you get a writing exercise. So you sit on the stump, you do the writing exercise, then you go on to the next stump. So by the time you finish all seven, you visited all seven stumps, you have a story. And you can submit it to the project if you like, or you can, you know, you don't have to submit. But it's a great way to learn, and it's fun.
It sounds absolutely fascinating. And I think you're expanding on that idea for World Storytelling Day, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited about this. We're hosting a story quest. And what that means is there are five genres, and participants can choose a genre. So murder mystery, romance, sci-fi, fantasy, or health and healing. And you get your clues, and you go to Sims all over Second Life, pick up the clues, and write your story. And when you're done with your story, you turn it in, and there will be prizes and publication for those who win. But the whole idea is you can get a story written in one day. So I'm just totally excited about this, of course.
And at the end of the day, there's also a celebration taking place?
Yes, there will be an hour of storytelling by professional, well, you know, regular storytellers, and awards for things like, you know, the first person to turn in their story, the funniest title, the longest story, that kind of thing. And then we'll have dancing and music.
That sounds like it's just going to be a lot of fun. I know Bookstacks is excited to be participating. Yes, who else is going to be taking part? Or can you tell us that? Is that part of the mystery?
I can. There are 20 Sims, so it's Chakran Forest, you know, the
oh, yes.
Not possible in real life folks. Avillion, Midsummer Dream, which I think you probably all know. Story Mountain.
We're in exalted company.
You are indeed. Nothing you guys are the murder mystery, work. So... And I found some fantastic sci-fi Sims. I'm not a sci-fi person particularly, so I didn't really know what was out there, but there's just some amazing, amazing Sims to visit. So I encourage everyone to come on down and play with us.
Definitely. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a big challenge, so I hope to see lots of writers out there.
Yeah, and you should mention it starts at midnight and runs until 9 p.m. So yeah, all the folks across the pond will have a chance too.
Well, that does make it a world storytelling day, doesn't it?
Right.
Well, you have a lot of enthusiasm for Second Life, and it seems like you've expressed just a lot of creativity here. Do you feel like your experiences in Second Life have changed your writing at all?
Oh, absolutely. I've been a journalist for 30 years, and the reporting and the fact gathering gets a little old after a while. And what Second Life taught me is to focus on the narrative, the personal story, not only my own, but those of others, because I find that's what really touches people. And if I have a mission in life, it's that. It's to touch people and help them learn and grow and know more about themselves, you know?
That's great. You definitely want to give something back from your experience.
Yeah, that's me.
Here.
Yeah. Yes.
You've worked with just tons of people in Second Life, I'm sure, through your projects. What has surprised you the most about Second Life and the people here?
That's a great question. I had to think about it when you asked me earlier. I guess what has surprised me most has been the intensity, the speed and passion people pour into their Second Lives. And when I thought about that, I realized that I have a theory, and here's my theory. I think Second Life is like a giant stage, a giant classroom where people come to work out their particular life issues and lessons. And it's a distilled and incredibly fast-paced classroom. And that, more than anything, has surprised me. It's how people leap in feet first and you know, just live at full throttle here, getting their lessons as they go.
Definitely the point of view of a teacher.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's true. Solidly grounded in education here.
Right. I know you're doing workshops constantly. Where can people check out your workshops and Storybook Island and things like that?
Well, there are three ways. You can join my group, the Virtual World Story Project, and I know everyone has plenty of space for that. You can come to Storybook Island, or you can also go to Karuna, which is the new HIV/AIDS sim, where I have a whole area devoted to storytelling.
Oh, the HIV sim?
Yes.
What are you doing there?
Karuna is a word from the ancient Pali language that means to end suffering, and it's the sim itself is funded by the National Library of Medicine, and part of the grant is that we collect stories and preserve and share them, and so I'm in charge of that whole section of the sim.
So you've been getting amazing stories all along. Are you publishing these stories anywhere besides on the sim?
Yes, they're on my website. I'm planning to publish in real life, and I also published them on my blog, Days of Our Second Lives. I'm also going to be doing a podcast of the stories, so you can look for that. Yeah. Just getting started.
Definitely. Is there anything else that I interrupted you in mentioning?
I don't think so. Just drop by Storybook, because now I have a whole island I'm playing, and I have great plans for things like Whispering Gardens and the educational stream and weekly storytelling events, etc.
And maybe more events like World Storytelling Day's Quest.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. More quests for sure.
Thank you for coming, Janaya. I hope you'll come back soon and talk about some of your other life-related projects.
I'd love to. Thank you.
As always, there are many events in the upcoming week that book lovers and writers will find interesting to attend. On March 16th, Derry will be giving listeners a glimpse into the life of Grace O'Malley, the Pirate Queen, and next weekend on Saturday, the West of Ireland Library will be holding that readathon that Kagir and Hyde found ourselves volunteers for.
And the SL Shakespeare Company is performing Act 1 of Twelfth Night on Sundays and Tuesdays in an open-ended run. I attended their performance of The Mousetrap a few months ago, and watching a play performed and performed well in Second Life is just a fascinating experience. They take the technology and are not afraid to use it.
Every Friday, the Written Word hosts a short story discussion group. Next week, their subject is The Lottery by Shirley Jackson.
She's the one that wrote The Haunting of Hill House, isn't she?
That's the one.
That's it for this episode of Off the Shelf. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with another set of fascinating guests.
Off the Shelf is produced for Radio Real by Zanoxi Han, Kagia Gerardi, and Simeon Beresford, and is licensed under Creative Commons. You can find Radio Real on the web at radioreal.org. All music in this production is from artists on the Magnitude label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. The off-the-shelf theme music is 1500 Tons by Burning Babylon from their album Stereo Mashup. And we bid you goodbye with this song, Hagagastan 14 by Eternal Jazz Project from their album Gratis Jazz. You can learn more about Magnitude and their artists on their website at magnitude.com.